Hi, everybody. It's Johnny B. Truant here with the Badass Project. I am here today with Jason Becker. I've really been looking forward to this. Jason was referred to us by somebody, and once we started checking out his site and his stuff, it's just awesome. Jason is, the only way to say it, he's a legendary guitarist. And I don't say that lightly. I started talking to some people that I know who know the industry and who know guitar, and they said, yeah, he's a legend. He's like, one guy called him a prodigy. He's played with just some amazing guitarists. He was in David Lee Roth's band and had an album with him. His friends are folks like Steve Vai and Joe Satriani. So I'm going to let Jason tell his story here in a little bit. Now, the way that we did this, well, first of all, welcome, Jason, and thanks for doing this.
T-H-A, thank you, V-E, very much, T, thank you very much.
Excellent. So this one's going to be done a little bit differently. I'm going to ask in just a second, Jason's dad, Gary, is here, and he developed a system for Jason to be able to talk. So that basically throughout this interview, Jason has submitted questions ahead of time, and I'm just going to read them because it's just easier, and then we'll have a discussion as we go on when I have some questions and so forth throughout it. So just to begin with, Jason, could you ask your dad to, or Gary, could you step in and just explain briefly the mode of communication that you guys have developed?
Yes. I developed this in 1996 when I was having trouble understanding Jason. He could not project his words anymore as his lungs were getting weaker, and I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to communicate with him. So I developed this simple system, which we now have memorized, but I'll show this to the camera. Basically, this is what I see, and Jason sees the mirror image of this. Up, F, I, what? F. Up. I guess I wasn't getting it in the picture frame there. Sorry.
Okay.
This is what I see. Jason sees a mirror image of on the other side. The training board, this is clear. I hope these letters will show up. But you visualize this being in front of Jason's face. Every letter of the alphabet, I put the alphabet in six squares. Four letters in each square, that's 26 letters, two left over, Y and Z, down here at the bottom. So basically it's an eye geometry. Every letter of the alphabet has two eye movements. So Jason will point with his eyes, he starts each letter from here, and he will point with his eyes to one of these six squares, and once he's in the square, then he will give me a direction with his eyes for one of these letters. Okay, this is the training board, it's transparent. I'll go back to the solid board, and we can explain it just as well.
Okay.
Now that you understand that Jason's eyes start in the very center of these squares for each letter. So, again, it's an eye geometry, so the first eye movement that he makes will take me to a square. So where are you going to take me? All right, he looks straight up. It's this square. Now the next time he looks down, that's the letter H. There's the square. There's the letter I. So he just said H-I, hi. Now, he doesn't have to say every letter of every word. As soon as I know the word, I'll say what the word is, and I'll move right along. So often when we're flowing along with very few letters, he can complete his sentences. He might stump me once in a while if he spells ukulele or hallelujah. That seems like a random jumble of words, but basically that's the system he'll be working with. So every letter. So I will watch his eyes, and you'll hear me say a letter, then another letter. As soon as I know the word, I'll say the word, and we'll move on. And that's how he's going to be talking in person to you. And it's pretty quick and pretty effective. W, E, we, H, A, have, M, O, M, E. We have it memorized. Yeah, we don't use this. Until you memorize it, you know, you use the chart, but we have it memorized. So I can just look him in the eyes and watch his eyes and call out the letters. So we're just eye-to-eye contact, no board in between us. That's just for learning. So that explains it, and that's what you will be hearing from Jason.
It's a really ingenious system.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's simple and effective, so Jason's pretty happy with it. D-E, Barry. I-T, it is E-F-A, fast, faster than A-N-N-E-C-O, computer. I have T tried.
Jason, what has it meant to you to have this system to be able to keep communicating with anybody around you or the world? I mean, we've exchanged a few emails, so it allows you to do all that. It allows you to write and to compose. How big of a boon has that been for you?
It is a l I f life s a saving t h thing w I without c o communication I w would p r probably b g O gone. I T it is I nice to be able to S T still C R create music E V even though I T it is S slow.
All right, so I'll tell you what, I'll just move into the questions and answers that we had beforehand, if that sounds good.
Cool.
Okay. So my first question was, can you tell me your story in brief? And we're going to attach that. There's some information that Jason gives his whole story. I'm not going to read through that entire thing, but suffice to say that... could you give that in brief? Because I have the long thing, but could you just tell me basically the highlights of when this started for you? And just, I don't need the full thing because we'll link to it, but I don't have it in front of me because I didn't print it.
Okay. Maybe, G, A, gear, can, D, O, do, it, T, E, tell, M, my, S, story, B, I, big, M, A, man. Well, let's see. I bought him a guitar when he was 5. By the time he was in the 6th grade, he was playing Dylan songs and harmonica in front of the school. I taught him to do that. By the time he's in the 7th grade, he was playing rock and roll solos with Eric Clapton on the radio. He'd been secretly doing that, and that blew my mind. By the time he was in high school, he had a record contract with Varney. He sent him a tape, and Varney called us up. So I got Jason to graduate early with straight A's on just the classes he needed, and he recorded with Marty Friedman. They formed the band Cacophony, and they made records and toured for a year or two. Then Jason wanted to move on, so he quit, and he got the David Lee Roth gig. Marty Friedman went on to Megadeth. Jason went down to interview with David Lee Roth. I dropped him off at the airport, said good luck. He got the gig. Roth called up one night. We were sitting around and said, hey, we're all having some pizza here. You want a slice? And I guess that meant he was in the group. He had a limp. He had a violent cramp about that same time. So when he was down there, he was limping. We told him to go to Kaiser and get it checked out, and they told him 1 week after he got the David Lee Roth gig that you have ALS and approximately 1 to 3 years to live. So Jason, he didn't care, figured he'd beat it. He had things to do. His only question was, am I going to be able to tour? They said, live your life however you want. There's nothing we can do until the end. So he would get a spinal tap and then hobble over to Roth and rehearse. And then they'd get a biopsy and they'd cut a chunk out of his leg and he'd hobble over to Roth and rehearse. And then he went up to Vancouver to record the record. And thank God he met Steve Hunter, who is a way cool guy, a great guitarist. I'm sure everybody has heard of him and all the work that he's done. He made it easier for me because he looked out for Jason. They hung out together. They had a great time. But he made sure when Jason was falling down and people were saying, oh, look at the drunk rock musician, that he was taken care of, because nobody at the time knew what was wrong with Jason. It needed to be kept a secret, and all kinds of things were kept a secret. Jason was barely able to finish the record. He lost his playing and talked to David Lee Roth, and they both admitted that he had to come back home with me and live again. That was rather sad. He came home. I gave him my art studio as a music studio. And some of his friends are experts in the music business, especially Mike Bemis-Sturfer created a program for Jason to compose on. Dan Alvarez has won Emmys for his musical engineering accomplishments. And so those two guys especially helped Jason create his next albums. And he's been recording music on various types of computer systems since then. Right now, he's got a state-of-the-art computer. It's all so small nowadays. He's got ProLogic. He's got a computer at home. So everything he does at home can be taken to the studio, and live musicians can be recorded, and Jason conducts those sessions. And he's a very busy, creative man, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's still here. He has work to do, and he still loves doing it.
Excellent.
And on the side, he became a spiritual inspiration to people. He gets fan mail. First, he got boxes of letters every day from people saying what an inspiration he was musically and spiritually. And now he gets the emails every day from all over the world, including people that are depressed, young people that want to commit suicide. And when they heard his story, they said, man, if you can kick that, I'm going to live my life in a more positive way. And that's Jason's story. And his dog barking.
Excellent. What kind of a dog?
These are a couple of rescue dogs. The one barking is a big black and brown coonhound.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll continue with the questions then, now that we have the story. So, excellent. So, my question was, when doctors told you that you had ALS, what was your reaction? You say you laughed it off, but was that honestly true? And when it sunk in that ALS wasn't going away, did you have a different reaction? Jason's response is, I honestly didn't pay much attention to the diagnosis. I didn't know anything about Lou Gehrig's disease, and I wasn't going to look into it. I was working hard playing and writing with David Lee Roth. I was on cloud nine. I just dealt with my limping and tripping without worrying. I finally got scared when I was recording my acoustic part in the studio for Drop in the Bucket. I had a hard time playing it with strength. I finally played it decently, but I was feeling sad about not nailing it. I mean, I had written it after all. I went in the Little Mountain studio bathroom, looked at my left hand, and noticed that the muscle between my thumb and first finger was way smaller. I cried. That didn't stop me from making music. I recorded songs on guitar until I couldn't play anymore. Then I switched to writing music on a computer with a keyboard. I stayed happy and positive throughout this time because I could still make music. I started feeling anger and fear when my breath and communication were getting dangerously weak. So, Jason, it's been 20 years since your diagnosis. Do you still... I mean, I imagine you miss playing with a guitar, but is it the blow that it used to be, or have you adapted to the new way of writing as sort of just the next step?
I H-A-R-A-M... A, D, I have adapted. I, R, A, rarely. M, I, miss. I, it. A, in any more. I G U guess I H A have A C accepted T H that M my L life is D I different T H than I H A had planned A N and I T it is okay.
Outstanding. So the next question is, this is from me. You say that you were originally given 5 years to live after your diagnosis, 20 years ago, and that over the past 4 years you've gained new muscle use, gained 30 pounds, and haven't degenerated. ALS is supposed to be a degenerative disease. What have you gained and what do you attribute it to? Yeah, they gave me 3 to 5 years, and it has been nearly 22 years. Okay, so I just said 20, 22. Well, I gained that weight and those muscles back in 1997 when I got my trach and G-tube. I was down to 80 pounds before that. Now I am 120. I think the main reason for this is having enough air and food. I also think that having enough care is essential. Meditation and the grace of God is big for me. Healthy diet and lots of water, too. Massage and movement. Humor is huge for me. When you say humor is huge, do you have, like, favorite comedians or TV show? I mean, what? Because I'm a humor guy too. I'm just wondering what form that is.
Y E A yeah, I L I like E F A Family Guy. I am P R E pretty N A nasty. F E L fellow. I L I like A S A L all K kinds of C O comedy C H A P Chappelle. C-H-I-R, Chris Rock, G-E, George Carlin, H-O, how about you?
You've named a lot of my favorites. I liked The Simpsons for a real long time, and I think they've lost it in the past few years, but I'm also a Family Guy fan. And I like a lot of comedy. I tell you, I did. I talked to Josh Blue for the Badass Project, the guy who won Last Comic Standing. So you should definitely check that out. He was a really fun guy too.
See, oh, cool. I will.
Awesome. So continuing on, next question was: do you think optimism or your overall attitude has helped keep you alive? Yes, I do, but I think passion and purpose is more important than having a positive attitude. We all need to feel love for something or someone, and we need to feel needed or important. Being creative is essential for me, not only musically, but in all levels of life. I am always trying to better myself spiritually, romantically, and philosophically, but never so seriously as not to see the humorous side of all predicaments. Yeah, I totally get that. When people tell you that you can't do something, what's your reaction? People never say that to me. In the distant past, one doctor told my mom that I wouldn't live long after getting the trach and that she should just put me in a home to die. If someone ever told me I couldn't do something, I would just smile politely. That's awesome. Can you tell me about the following quote from your site and what relevance it has for you today? This is something I was really curious to hear about. This is the quote. One night I was dreaming. When I woke up, I forgot I had a limp, so I walked totally normal until I remembered, oh yeah, I have a limp. Then I immediately stumbled. That showed me that if you have control over your mind, that you can do anything. And the answer is, I guess it just showed me that anything is possible. If I could get my pesky mind out of the way, I could be rid of ALS. In a small way, I've done that. ALS doesn't rule my life. It's more, it's more like Gilbert Gottfried's character following me around and squawking and making annoying little cracks. No offense to Gilbert. So I got to ask you some more about this, Jason, because I get what you're saying, but I think a lot of people would say, how can you say that ALS doesn't rule your life? Like, they would just be like, well, clearly it's a big part of your life. But what do you mean by that? That it doesn't rule your life?
Good question. Physical life. FO4SU for sure, but WHA what I am mean WA was I it D doesn't rule M my M I mind I am N O not you usually S A sad or F R frustrated O F of course I H A have T I times when I A am at times when I am, but I T H that H A having E N enough C A caregivers I H E helps M me N O not H A having H not have to D W dwell on it. I D O don't H A have P A pain.
Excellent. Okay, so continuing on, what does music mean to you? You fought so hard to keep composing, and I think that that's an understatement. Jason's answer is, music is how I communicate best. It is like the poetry of my soul, it is my love, the universal language. Making music is a gift in my eyes, so if I can do it, I will. Here we get to the badass section of the questions. Did people say you were crazy to keep composing and encourage you to be, quote, realistic about what a guy with ALS could do? Do people consider your ambitions audacious or outlandish? No one ever said any of that to me. I can't imagine why anyone would say that. I was lucky to be surrounded by like-minded creative people who wanted to help me create. The only negative comments I have heard were on my YouTube videos. A couple of people have said I am just a human vegetable and they wouldn't go on life support in my situation. What those people don't realize is we are all on life support. What do you mean by that?
I T is L I life I is S O so F R frail F fragile I T it C O could B T A taken away A anytime. So, W, I, that's it. That's,
okay.
Yeah, that's the conclusion. That's,
okay. Yeah, I totally agree with that, by the way. Okay, so next question. How handicapped do you feel? And I'm putting that in quotes. How handicapped do you feel? Do you think that people imagine you as feeling more encumbered than you actually feel on a daily basis? Well, I call myself a crip. By the way, that seems to be pretty common amongst the folks I've talked to. But you are right. People don't think they could live this way. It wouldn't be my first choice either. But I have no pain, and I have total sensation everywhere in my body. I can still have normal sex, and I do. Okay, so I, of course, have to stop there. I didn't know that. That's you have total sensation, and you just like anybody else, you can have normal sex. I mean, with obvious modifications.
I am O-N on B-O-T-G bottom. S-O-S-O Y-E-S. I can have in normal sex. A-N-I-T-it H-E-L helps be being R-O-C rock star G-I girls W-A want T to D O do I it.
That's you just gave hope to so many people with ALS or with a pending diagnosis. And then he continues, so life is great, I just sit around and wait for people to do things for me. Haha, just kidding. Okay, so my next question was, my inspiration to start this project came from John Morrow, a very successful businessman with spinal muscular atrophy who can't move below the neck. John said that he wanted to have a t-shirt printed that said, I'm a badass, and wear it around all the time because it's such a great pattern interrupt because nobody expects a guy in a wheelchair to think of himself as a badass. But man, you've kept the rock and roll hair and wardrobe and everything. I mean, outside of your inclusion in this badass project, do you and have you always considered yourself a badass? First of all, John is definitely a badass. I used to have self-confidence issues, and I still do sometimes to this day. I don't really think of myself as a badass, but I have influenced most of today's great guitarists, and my fans call me the modern-day Beethoven, so maybe I am a badass. My heart doesn't feel like a badass, though. I love little kittens. You're definitely a badass, Jason. I give you permission to be a badass if you didn't need it already. So my next question was, have you always been a rule breaker? I'm sorry?
T-H-A, thank you. Thank you for the permission to be a badass.
Awesome. If I can help anybody to be inspired to be a badass, then it's good. It's all good. So my next question was, have you always been a rule breaker or nonconformist, determined to do things your own way regardless of what society says you're supposed to do? The answer is no. I tried to be a good student in school, and I was shy with girls. I wanted everyone to like me. I think that is why I liked music. I got to be as crazy as I wanted and break any rules. That made my personality open up. And then when I got into the rock and roll world, I didn't destroy hotel rooms. I left flowers for the maid. My form of breaking the rules was to be kind to people when they didn't expect it. Which is awesome, by the way. I've run into that before, too. People think that nonconformity and being kind of crazy is the only way that you can be outside the lines. But when you're supposed to be crazy and you aren't, that's defying the rules, too. So that's very cool. And the last question I asked was... Sorry?
That's okay. I'm a little slow in the uptake sometimes on his answers, but that's okay.
Okay. The last question was, has your music changed over the past 20 years? Is there any rhyme or reason for that change? And by the way, we'll link to some of Jason's music. His last album had three large original compositions, which are amazing. Since I can't blaze on the guitar anymore, I put all my focus into the composing and trying to move the listener. I explore music from around the world, and I incorporate it into my own style. I experiment with orchestras and interesting harmonies and counterpoint. I did all this with the guitar, but now I have to work it out in my imagination. I guess there is less shredding. Okay, so that's all of the questions that we had run through. So at this point, I just want to... thank you again so much for being on here. It's been great to meet you. And I don't know if you go out to be inspirational. Most of the folks I've talked to say that they don't. They're just living their lives. But it's just, it's awesome to see how you do things and your attitude toward everything. So it's been outstanding, Jason. I've loved meeting you.
W-O-W-T-H, thank you, G-R, great, M-E, E, meeting you, T-O, two.
Excellent. Yes. Well, this is Johnny B. Truant with Jason Becker signing off for The Badass Project.